On a beautiful and sunny afternoon, Martin, 38, gets dropped by his camp further than expected and walks back to Camille's place. There goes his OkCupid description. 6 things I could never do without: a spoon, toilet paper, elastic bands, grass, dolphins, and tomato soup. He arrives with a bottle of red wine, a great smile, and an impressive 6'5" buddy. On top of her 5'2", Camille can barely tell. He's bald.
Normally, where would you meet a first date?
Usually in a park or in a bar. That's boring, though. It's always the same thing. I'm like, this is very original.
No, this is super original. That's why I was like, fuck it, let's just do it. You know? Props here. That's like really, really, really nice. This is the first time that I have a first date with somebody.
With microphone?
With a microphone right in front of my face. Where it's like, everything you say kind of will be used against you in a court of law.
Well, I mean, I guess.
No, I'm joking, but...
But yeah, do you usually meet people? Do you meet a lot on the app, or like you prefer in real life?
Honestly, I prefer in real life. Yeah. I find it, but like the whole COVID situation has made that even more... It has made that even worse.
It's impossible.
Of, because like now, like, because before it was already kind of... I don't know, just to talk to a girl, like it can, you know, like if you don't know her and it's in the street, she might be like, what the, you know, like,
yeah.
And now with COVID, it, like, there's an extra reason not to talk to people, right? It's almost as if, you know, like, it's almost as if this was designed to just keep us all apart. Not that I think it is, but, you know, yeah. Like it is kind of,
I know,
a sign of the times, you know, where we're all.
Yeah, it's weird because I used to be the kind of person that would like talk to strangers in the street all the time. Like, I remember once there were German travelers, backpackers, mm-hmm. On Saint-Denis. Mm-hmm. And they were like asking for where to go. They were looking for Atmosphere store. And I was like, well, that's actually where I'm going. You want to follow me? And they're like, yeah, cool. And then they followed me. And then afterwards, I was like, you guys want to go grab a beer? And they were like, yeah, sure. And so we went for a beer. And then I invited them over for dinner. Mm-hmm. And they just came, and we had like they brought people from their hostel, and we just had like a huge meal with wine at my place. I mean, they're strangers from the street, but that's the kind of thing I love to do. I love meeting new people, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the thing with this podcast too. I mean, a date or whatever it is, I just love people and I love to meet people. Mm-hmm. So I miss that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, what do you think? What do you think will be the lasting impact of COVID?
What do you mean?
Well, do you think, like, so let's say before 9/11 you could get through the airport security real easy, and then 9/11 happened, and since then, it's 20 years since then,
yeah.
and we have to basically almost strip ourselves down to our underwear.
True.
When we get to the air. So I just wonder, in 10 years from now, what is a lasting impact of COVID? So 10 years from now, COVID is going to be gone, right? Like,
yeah.
Hopefully.
Well,
but are we still going to be like washing our hands when we get into a supermarket? Or are we still going to be wearing a mask in certain situations that now, before we didn't?
I guess like right now, wearing a mask is just like normal. I mean, mm-hmm. not wearing a mask is weird almost already.
Yeah, maybe. Like the other day I walked halfway through to the metro and I'm like, shit, I forgot my mask.
Yeah, you know? I still forget it sometimes too, and
it's one of the what 4 things now that you need when you leave your house. It's your keys, your wallet, your cell phone, and your mask now.
That's true. And the mask is basically the most important one.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because you just can't get in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. But yeah.
Yeah, it's the world is changing. So now, like, the COVID thing definitely throws a little bit of a spanner in the works for like meeting strangers just in real life. So yeah, just to get back to your question there, I mean, I have met, obviously I have met girls off of apps, and also like girls that I had like a very interesting relationship with, but if I look back, like the times that I actually met a girl just in a bar or randomly on the street or at whatever dance class or something, it's always been, well, not always, but I think in general, I would prefer that. I would prefer that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Cause the app, it's very, I don't know. It's kind of, it's very impersonal. Like, how do you stand out? But here's a good question for you. How do you, like, how do you stand out, like, on an app? Like,
what? Write down, swipe right if you want to be part of my podcast.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Works pretty well for me.
That is true. Okay, so what, like, all the guys that text you, or all the people that text you, are like, can I be on your podcast?
Not now. Like I said earlier, if I'm not interested, I'm not gonna, like, bring you home for a podcast, like, I need to, like, read your profile and be like, okay, this person seems interesting, and I want to have a conversation with this person and might have a relationship. Like, I don't, I mean, some of my friends listened to the first episode and they were like, yeah, but the guy was nice, I want, like, awkward. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't, like, I understand, but I'm like, I'm not gonna bring some weirdos to my house. I don't know. I'm like, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, you want to, I guess you want to walk the line between interesting and weirdo.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it needs to be interesting, but, like, not too weird.
Exactly. And I mean, I think I'm weird, but it's good kind of weird. Like, I would invite myself home, but I mean,
yeah, but you're also 5'2", and so you're,
I'm, like, not very,
you're
not, scary.
You're not gonna overpower me.
Well, who knows?
Or maybe you could. Who
you knows? Don't know what I did before. Like, maybe I'm, like, a super power.
Super powerful. We could do.
Yeah,
we,
I don't
could,
know what,
like,
I'm.
We could do an arm wrestling competition afterwards and see and see who wins.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I will. I will tell to everyone after. That I lost, and I will.
That
I will
you be lost, sad. Or that you won? Who knows?
You think?
Who knows? No, I think there's, I think there's zero chance you're gonna win. But you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, listen, like, I'm a scientist, so or like at heart, I'm a scientist at heart.
What do you do?
I'm a software developer. I'm in computer graphics.
Oh, okay.
I used to make video games, and now I have my own software company. Mm-hmm. I've had it for a while. But when I said I'm a scientist, it's more like a scientist at heart. So in the sense that I am never 100% certain about anything. I'm always willing to have my mind changed or be like, you know, like, I don't know. Technically, there is a possibility that you would win an arm wrestling thing, but, like, I'm very certain. Like, I would put a lot of money.
Okay,
on
let's
winning.
Say I would lose.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, who knows? What would you win at?
Hopefully, at being funny. Hopefully, because I paid like $15,000
to be funny.
Yeah.
All right, be funny.
Oh my god, that's not how it works. You see, you laughed. No, but I don't know. I like to be funny, but I don't want to win at being funny. I just want to be.
Yeah.
What I would win at? My god, I'm pretty good at board games.
Okay.
I probably 90% of the time win.
Okay. Any board game. Like, you? Do you get really competitive?
I am. I'm like, if I don't win, I'm like, fuck you, asshole. And I'm like, I become really mean, but I don't believe it. I just can't help it.
Okay. Okay. So, what's your favorite board game?
I haven't played in a while, but I like Catan and, I don't remember the names, Les Aventuriers du Rail, but I don't remember in English. Mm.
Yeah. I think Catan is really nice. Catan is the one that I have at home that I do play sometimes. Yeah, it reminds me of, like, when I was a kid playing Monopoly with my cousin, and he was just better at it than me. And he would kind of let me live, you know, like for a bunch of rounds. But then after a while, he would just own everything. And he'd be like, you know, and I would fall on the street again. He'd be like, you know what? I'll do you a favor. Just you pay half, you know. Like, oh, and it was like, it was just drawing it out for a long time.
Last time I played Monopoly, I was just like, you win. After like 10 minutes, I'm like, just buy all, like, just take my money. I can't. Yeah. Just that game, I just can't.
Monopoly.
Yeah.
Well, apparently there's like world championships for Monopoly where
Seriously?
People are like, yeah, but dude, there's
Why?
A world championship for everything.
People are so like, so weird. Like, I don't understand sometimes why people love some things that much.
I don't know.
I like, that's a pretty like basic game. Like, yeah, what do you like about it so much?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a metaphor for, you know, capitalistic lifestyle, you know, trying to amass wealth. And, you know, I always liked it. Monopoly was
fun.
Yeah,
you do.
Monopoly was fun, yeah.
We don't have a lot in common. I'm disappointed. No, I'm kidding.
It's okay.
That's just a board game.
it's fun. Okay, this date is over, people.
Yeah, sorry.
We're leaving right now because she doesn't like Monopoly and, you know.
Yeah, how can it work? What are we going to do?
I don't know. Well, we could keep doing podcasts. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll become famous.
It could be. Could be. How many people do you have on how many listeners do you have?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Because I just started. Yeah. So we'll see.
I think the main thing is just to keep going.
Yeah. I don't do it to have listeners. I mean, I would like it, but I mean, I do it because I want to do it and I will see how it goes. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I just enjoy it. I think it's nice. I like just re-listening to the dates, I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Really interesting because it gives you a real good idea of how it went. Because sometimes, I don't know, you drink wine and you're like, oh yeah, it was nice. And then sometimes you listen to it and you're like, oh, it was okay. But like, I don't know, when you're like in another mood, you can be more like objective.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're like, oh, it wasn't so good. And then you listen to it and like, oh no, it was pretty cool. And then, so I don't know. It's okay. It gives you another point of view on the date, actually.
That is true. Yeah, I agree with you. And also the nice thing is that years down the line, you can see, what did I do in September of 2020? Yeah.
True.
So that's what, yeah, I like making videos. And like I made some videos of some adventures I had in the past, or where I went traveling and
you traveled a lot, right?
I haven't traveled that much, but like lately, in the last like 2 years, I've really gotten the bug of like, because like I realized that, you know, because everybody always says, you know, oh, one day I want to do this or one day I want to do that. But then at some point, like as you get older, you realize like, well, you know, that like someday has to turn into today at some point. Because if it doesn't turn into today, then you're never going to do it, right? So, yeah. So in the last couple of years, I've really gotten that. So I've traveled a lot more.
Where did you go?
I went to Costa Rica. I went to Italy. I went to Peru last year.
Nice.
To the Amazon. That was very really cool. I also last year I went to Australia for for a month. I sailed along the west coast of Australia.
Oh,
Okay.
I was like, that's unusual.
where the Great Barrier Reef is.
Yeah, I went there. I was there for 3 months.
Nice. Yeah. Where did you go?
I did all of the east coast also.
Okay.
But with a car.
Okay.
Sleeping in the car with my best friend.
Nice. Did you go there and buy the car there? Because
we rented it.
Okay. When I landed in Melbourne, I was in the first few days I was staying at a hostel.
Yeah.
And right across from the hostel, there was this store that looked like it was specifically put there for hostel people, because it was like, you want to see Australia by car? Buy this car.
Yeah.
They were selling cars for like,
I don't know,
$3,000.
Everybody would buy cars and then sell them when they would leave. Mm-hmm. Like everybody was doing that. And afterwards we're like, we should have done that, because mm-hmm. renting a car is pretty expensive for mm-hmm. nothing. Like mm-hmm. we could have easily buy one and,
yeah, buy one and sell it. Yeah. Like although, yeah, I wonder if they, but they will probably still make a lot of money off of that. But yeah.
Yeah,
for
sure.
What was the coolest thing you did in Australia? Was there anything that stood out where you're like,
hard to tell. I don't know. Oh my God, Australia. I traveled a lot. I mean, we were poor, so we would not do much.
Okay.
we decided to go to Australia for 3 months and we canceled our semester at uni. We rented our apartment and we sold all of our stuff inside of 2 weeks. And then we landed in Sydney and we did not know where we would sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty random.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were there and we were like, this country is fucking expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And we did not know that beforehand. So we were like, how are we going to spend 3 months here not working and spending that much money?
Yeah.
So we basically just like chilled.
Like, yeah.
We did not do much. We okay. were like going to beaches and walking around and like driving and like, I don't know, like not much.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I don't know, for me, traveling is what is the nicest thing about traveling is if you can actually live a little bit like people live over there, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're only for a few days, then yes, I guess you're going to have to you know, do all the touristy things. But,
yeah.
but like, in order to get a full sense of what it is to be somebody else living in a different country, like it's actually just good to live somewhere and just do what they do and go grocery shopping and do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I usually do, actually.
Okay, well, that's cool. And one thing that I can really recommend, that's one thing that I did that is really cheap, it's incredibly cheap, and it's an incredible adventure, is to go on somebody else's sailboat and help them with sailing. So sailing is one of the things that I like to do.
Yeah.
I used to have a sailboat here for a long time, but like Montreal is not the best place for sailing.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Because it's a very short,
summer.
Season,
yeah.
And also the water here is like it's very shallow and all that stuff. But yeah, I went over there, and first I went to Melbourne, and Melbourne was, and this was in November last year.
So you brought your own boat there?
No, I didn't bring a boat there. No, no.
Okay, I was
no.
like, wow.
No. I was there, and I wasn't planning on going sailing there, but then I was down in Melbourne, and it was cold and rainy, and I'm like, this is not why I came to Australia. You know, if I wanted cold and rainy, I could have stayed in Montreal.
Exactly.
And then at one point, I went on like this website
where
captains can seek crew.
Okay.
Where boat captains can seek crew.
Interesting.
And so there are websites for this, and you just make a profile on it, and it almost feels like a dating profile,
really?
Because in a sense, you're still trying to present yourself as a cool dude.
Person,
And then for the first couple of days, I didn't get any responses. And then like a day later, I had 3 responses of people that were like, like, it'd be great if you came. And so I was in Melbourne, and then I met this guy in, Airlie Beach, which is all the way, like, or not all the way, but like it's in the tropical zone.
Yeah.
And he needed help, like moving his boat from Airlie Beach down to Sydney.
Okay.
And he wanted some help. And so then I got a flight out there, and I was on this guy's boat for like 2 weeks, and we're just going. And he was this like 60-year-old retired dairy farmer, and
how did you get along with him? Was it okay or was it weird?
No, it was not weird. It was good. What kind of sucked a little bit is that for the first 4 days we were stuck in the marina because the wind was just like exactly in the wrong direction, and so we were kind of at the mercy of the weather. And like after 4 days, like sitting being there with him, I was like, I wish I was on a beach somewhere with people like my age, and but it was good.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
38.
Yeah.
Right.
And then after 4 days we could finally go, and then we went from island to island because this guy like had sailed around that coast for like 10 years, and so he knew everything about everything. And we went to these uninhabited islands, and we like met this hermit on an island. Yeah, that's cool.
A hermit that lives on an island?
Yeah. Well, officially a hermit would be somebody that never meets anyone. But this was a guy, just like a very bohemian, old guy that lived on an island, and he lived there for 20 years. And the only visitors. Well, yes, alone, but he would get visitors. Like he would get like cruisers, like people that would like anchored our boat there.
Wow.
And I was a super cool guy. He had like a tree house, like a crazy amazing tree house that like it's something out of a movie, really.
Wow.
Yeah, so I could really recommend this too.
I would eventually like to do that. Like, I always said that I would like to have my own sailboat and like go around, like,
well, you know, everywhere. If we connect, and maybe we could do that. Because I used to have a boat. I just sold my boat last year. I'm planning on buying a new one, but like not in Montreal. Like,
yeah.
But like the whole sailing around the world thing is definitely something that I've been thinking about for a long time.
That sounds so good.
It's because I think a boat or living on a boat is just one of the few things that you can still do in 2020 that is not completely regulated to death. You know, and you can go to places where normal people cannot go, and also you have to be self-reliant in a sense.
Yeah.
If you're you know, on the ocean and something goes wrong, then you kind of have to fix it yourself. There's something about that I find very kind of romantic. You know, it's still one of the last things where you can conquer nature in a sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Or
you have the power basically, like of your own destiny.
Exactly. But that also makes it kind of scary a little bit.
Of course, very scary.
Like when I have my boat here, like, you know, sometimes you invite a whole bunch of people on the boat, and in the afternoon you're having a barbecue and you're sailing around and everyone's having a great fun. But like on the back of my mind is always like, okay, but like we gotta be safe and we gotta not. And it sounds kind of, maybe like, but here in Montreal you're gonna be safe. But like on a sailboat, you always have to, especially in a river where the water is flowing, and you don't really have, you do have an engine, but like normally you don't use an engine, and so it's easy to get stuck somewhere or to get into trouble. So that was always in the back of my mind, you know. And I can imagine if you're on the ocean. You know, that's why also I went with another guy on the ocean, because I'm like, the first time I go on the ocean, I want it to be somebody else's responsibility.
For sure. I would do the same. I would be like, okay, you do like whatever you need to do, and I'm just there.
But it's
pretty risky.
Yeah. No, but it's awesome. Yeah. And I like to make videos of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So that I can see afterwards.
Yeah.
I can go back and I can revisit it. You know, it's maybe a little bit for other people, but mostly for myself. And I guess maybe that's the same thing for you.
Exactly. Yeah. The same for all of my trips. Like I would take pictures and stuff, but I mean, it's basically to remind myself of the trip later.
Yeah, it's just what we do these days. It's because you can take like basically an infinite amount of pictures, is that we don't actually use them anymore afterwards. Because before, at least we used to have photo albums, right?
Exactly.
But now you can
I still do though.
Well, that's very good.
I feel like I'm like an 84-year-old inside a 28-year-old body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you seen my apartment? Like I'm an old lady.
doesn't look too old. You have a map of the world over here, you have a friend's poster.
I'm not too bad. My face is over there too.
Finissant what? Tournée de finissant
at l'école nationale de l'humour.
It's
comedy school.
Okay, like that. This is what? This is not a certificate that you finished it. What is
no,
it?
No, that's just a poster of.
It's just a poster of the comedy school. So, did you ever do stand-up comedy?
Yeah, that's what I do.
That is what you do.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh man, that must be so.
I had a show last night. I have shows all week. I am in show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Damn.
I have a bunch of other shows this month, and yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So this would be a gold mine for a new comedy. How do you say that? For new comedy material.
Yeah.
I suppose. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you remember the first time you went in front of a bunch of people trying to be funny?
Yep, I do.
How did it feel? Were you scared?
No, I felt good. I felt good. I was, at first, I was doing it for fun. So I was just like not even thinking about what people would think about me. And then later on, when I was accepted to school, I started being very anxious because you start putting more pressure on yourself because it's like, okay, now people expect me to be good. Mm-hmm. And then, so I started doing like anxiety crisis and stuff on stage and I would not be able to finish. And now I'm starting to be okay again. I'm starting to do it for fun again. And I'm starting to like feel like myself.
Yeah.
But well, that's very, like, it's like the most difficult thing I've ever done, but also very rewarding and fun.
So tell me about the first time that you went out.
The first time I was actually doing a night class at the same school. And we would have a show at the end of the semester. And I wrote a number that was also the number I did for my audition about my dad's suicide.
Yeah.
And so I was just talking about my dad and his death, basically, for 5 minutes.
Okay. And but like in a funny way?
Yeah, in a funny way. Like I was, well, I mean, it's dark humor, of course. I mean, suicide jokes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it worked pretty well. And people were laughing and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was happy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that once you've done it a few times and you know that you can get a few laughs, like that must definitely make it a lot easier. But I can imagine the first time that you're out on stage and, you know, there's crickets there and it's up to you to make that into like a good atmosphere and stuff, man.
Well,
I don't know.
The same exact number can be like complete death silence or like crazy applauding, laughing people. I mean, it depends of the people in the room. It depends of the night. It depends of how you do it. But I mean, sometimes like one night I would do it and there would be no reactions. And then the night after I would do it again in front of different people and be like, "Wah!" And wow. I was like, "What the hell?" It's the same exact thing. Huh. But you know, it's a weird art.
It is.
It's a very weird art.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very cool.
Yeah, no, I totally, well, I've never seen you, but I totally admire you for that. Like, because it's something that I, you know, it's gone through my mind once or twice. And I'm like,
really?
Oh, that would be cool. Nah, but like, it would be okay. Like, it would be cool to be able to, tell a story and to tell an engaging story and make people laugh. Of course, that'd be cool. That'd be cool to do. But I don't think I could. Like, I don't think I'm that good in the limelight. I don't really like to be.
You prefer to be like
the center of attention. Yeah, I don't.
Behind the scene.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I have done some public speaking before, and it was nice. But now to think about it again, to do something like that, I have a YouTube channel where I do videos.
Okay, about what?
It's programming tutorials.
Okay.
And it's decently popular, and I'm pretty sure that if I would do a live coding whatever session, then people would watch that. I probably should do it, but it's kind of scary too because you know.
Maybe I'll convince you to do it.
Well, yeah, maybe at the end of the bottle of wine. But
okay, after the podcast, we do your. Okay. It's like a payback.
Okay. Good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I should probably. I mean, it looks like that's where the whole internet world is going, anyways. And like it's going in the direction of, you know, people expressing themselves. And people express themselves live, like
freely
and unprepared, like in a kind of unprepared way.
Yeah, spontaneously.
Yeah, maybe that is something that kind of scares me a little bit, because when I make a video, I can rehearse it, right? I can try it and I can know exactly what I'm talking about and not talk myself into a cul-de-sac, right?
Yeah.
Into a dead end somewhere. And I feel like, yeah, maybe if I do it live, then it's not going to be as polished, which it won't be, right? But it doesn't matter because you get something else back for that, which is that it's live.
I mean, it depends. You can be prepared. Like a show that I would do, it's live. I mean, I'm on stage in front of people.
Yes.
But I've practiced it so much. I say always exactly the same words. And I mean, sometimes I can improvise a bit, but I mean, it's going to be pretty much the same thing every time. And how can it go wrong? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're prepared, it should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's more like this, what we do right now, this is not prepared. How can I prepare for this? Like, I mean, this is very spontaneous and just like what it is. I mean,
that's true.
But I love that because I don't know. I feel like there's more authenticity.
There is, yes, there
and
is.
And I don't mind if it's not funny 100% of the time. Like, my goal is not to make you laugh like every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
My goal is to share and like, I don't know, like have something
to share
substantial and like, I don't know, have something interesting to talk about with people, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I love it when it's funny, but it doesn't have to be funny all the time.
No, I mean, if it's engaging.
Exactly.
Then that is good too. That is kind of what I like maybe about, I find Dutch, like I'm Dutch, right?
I was wondering.
I'm from the Netherlands. I grew up there. And we have also, well, obviously like any other country, kind of stand-up comedy. But in the Netherlands, it's much more involved with theatrics and with music as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of kind of quote-unquote stand-up comedians, they also can play like a really touching song or something like that, which I kind of like because it kind of encompasses much more than just being funny.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Whereas I find North American stand-up is its own thing and it's absolutely great, but it is kind of different from the stand-up that I'm used to.
Cool. Maybe you would like my stand-up then.
Maybe.
Because I'm not like, I don't know. Sometimes I like to do like songs and stuff and it's not always funny. Like sometimes there's like touching parts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's super cool. So you went to school for this?
Yeah, 2 years. I just finished.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So at that school, like they teach you improvisation lessons or they teach you how to tell a story or?
I mean, writing. I mean, you need to write comedy before you can play it.
You need to write comedy before you can play it.
Yeah. So writing and also play like a theater and stuff, like how to play basically.
Mm-hmm.
Improv. Oh my gosh, I don't remember everything, but even voice classes, like how to breathe properly and how to use your voice to do different things and how to like regulate your stress and stuff with breathing and singing class. I mean, it's very wide.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot.
Oh, that's
pretty cool.
That's very cool. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe we could sing a song together after.
Really? You sing too?
A little bit. Like I play guitar. It's fun if you can sing a song while you're playing it.
Exactly.
Which is a whole other thing, by the way. It's like, because you might be able to play guitar and you might be able to sing, but to play guitar and sing, if you've never done it, if you've never done it, you're going to screw yourself up because it's very easy to lose a rhythm or something like that.
I actually have a guitar, but I don't know how to play it.
Okay.
Someone gave it to me because I wanted to learn, and I've never learned.
Okay.
But that's what I wanted to do because I'm like, I love to sing. I would sing all the time, but I'm like, I don't want to just sing like in the emptiness of the silence, like I would like to accompany myself with music.
Yeah.
And every time I meet people that play instruments, I'm like, hey, I'd like to sing. Can you play, please?
Yeah. Well, I guess we could do that.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Like,
what kind of music do you play?
and guitar music.
Yeah, I mean,
I like any kind of songs. I like, I'm not really that good. Like a lot of my friends, I used to play guitar when I was a teenager, and then I stopped, and then like up until now, kind of, and but now I have a bunch of friends that are musicians, and they all can pick up a guitar and play. See. And so I felt like, well, I should probably learn a little bit, you know. I should probably just pick up the guitar and be able to play.
Oh, that's cool.
And but before that, like when I was a teenager, I never sang with it. It was always just playing guitar. Which you can do, but then if you want to make it kind of interesting, there needs to be, you know, there needs to be something there, right? Yeah. Like more than just a couple of chords. And but when you sing, it can be really, really simple, and it can still be interesting. So, yeah.
So you
have a guitar, but you don't play it.
I do. I don't think it's on the good notes. I think
it's not tuned. We can tune it's not if tuned. You want.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we might do that later, guys.
Can I pour another wine?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you
I gotta see. Glass? Yeah.
Hang on. I'll cut this part.
Okay. Cut.
Let's see it.
Let's go to commercial break, people.
Yeah. Like nobody wants to listen to silence and glass and wine being poured.
Listen. I think what people really want and what people are looking for and what is attractive to people is to be part of a genuine experience.
True.
Right?
I think so.
Between people. So this is actually great. I thought before, and like not seriously, but I've thought before that like it would be so cool if you could somehow film falling in love.
Yeah.
If you could somehow kind of capture that feeling. I bet you that like a lot of people would watch that too, because
I don't think you can. Can you? I don't know.
If you could capture falling in love?
Yeah. I don't think that would be possible.
I think you could. But like it would just be the way I would see it in my mind is it would just be a lot of snippets, like video snippets of you doing things together and maybe from the perspective of one person, kind of like you look at the other person.
I mean, you'd have to be filming very private things for a very long time.
Yes.
That's what I mean. I mean,
yes.
Falling in love, I don't think happens in like 5 seconds.
No, I know. I know, but...
I don't know. That's my point of view.
Or maybe capture genuine flirtation.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what I'm trying to do. Kind of. I don't know if it works.
I think it does. Well, like one thing, if this was a normal like date, let's say.
Yeah.
Then let's say, okay, if I meet a girl at a bar, let's say, I will always try to be able to sit next to her.
Okay.
Like it's much better, I find, to sit next to someone and just look at the world together than to sit opposite each other with a table in between, especially if it's like a table, because you need some physical closeness in order to you know, get some chemistry. You know?
But I mean, with COVID also, we need to be 2 meters away. So what are we going to do? You know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
We can get closer like in a few months or next year, maybe.
Oh, boy.
You know, that's just what life is now.
Yeah. Have you had? So you said this was your first. Like this is your first date podcast, right? But like, have you had dates before this? Like in the last couple months?
It's not my first date actually.
But it's your first date podcast, no?
No, not anymore.
Oh, okay.
I've done a few since I told you it was my first.
Since you really? Oh my god.
Yeah, I told you I'm trying to be fast.
Okay.
Now I look. I'm sorry. Huh?
All right. Okay. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Since we last talked, which is when did we last talk? Yesterday.
2 days ago, I think.
Okay. So when was your last?
No, not last talk. But when I told you, it was my first. It wasn't yesterday.
Okay. That's interesting.
But I've done a couple. But there's also, like I told you, I'm also doing with some exes or people I had in my life.
Yeah.
So I actually have a friend. Well, yeah, a friend that I dated before that lives in the Netherlands, and so I did a Zoom podcast with him.
Okay.
Because I met him in Asia when I was backpacking, and so we told our story together and stuff. So
How do you guys met?
Yeah, exactly. So that was interesting. So that's also part of it. So I mean, it's not all like actual dates.
Yeah. But you're really creating content right now.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. I hope that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. No, for sure. And then you can release it over time, I suppose.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. I said, I don't want to be like dating every week for the next months. Like, if I connect with people, I will want to see them again. So
yeah,
I don't want to have to. So I'm trying to like fast forward into a bunch of them, and then I can see the people I like and not the people I did not like.
No, for sure. I guess
that's kind of like reality TV show, like, but not really. I don't know how to say, but have you seen like Love is Blind? Or have you heard of it?
No. Because what's the premise?
Before, when you said like, I wish we could film people falling in love.
Yeah.
That show is kind of crazy. It's like they put like a bunch of dudes and a bunch of girls, and they can never see each other. So they go on like actual blind dates. Like they're in pods.
Yeah.
And there's like a wall, so they can't see each other. And that's like that for a while. And then the only way to choose someone and see them is to ask them to marry you.
Come on.
So they're like, after a couple days or weeks, they're like, would you marry me? And they're like, yes, I will. And then they can finally see each other and you're like, what the hell? Just to like prove that love is not based on looks.
But it is.
But it is. Kind of. But I mean, not just on looks. It's based on a lot of things.
I know. Well, for me, it is. For me, it's based on a lot of things. But like, physical attraction has to be there to me.
It's part of it, for sure. It's part of it. But I think physical attraction can come with intellectual attraction.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes.
Yes, to a certain extent, it can. But yeah, I gotta be honest here that I think that the physical attraction, if the physical attraction is not there, then if the person is like super cool, they would just be a friend. I wouldn't be, I guess, you know.
Yeah, like, I guess that's true. Yeah.
It's, well, like, I don't know, maybe for different people it's different. It could be that for you it's different. Has it ever happened to you that did you met like someone and you were really not attracted to them and you're like, I don't like whatever?
Yeah, it happened a lot actually.
And then over time you released,
not like, over time, over like one day.
Over one day?
Like over one conversation.
Okay.
Like I just need to talk to the person and I'm like, oh wow, this person is awesome. Mm-hmm. And now I see them beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes, not always. I mean, it depends why, like, what you look like. I mean, sometimes some people are just not attractive enough that their personality can't make it.
They work. can't overcome their physical.
I mean, it's not that, I'm not saying they're ugly, but I'm just not attracted.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even the looks. I guess it's the pheromones. Like I don't even know.
Yeah, no, it could, like,
I don't even
like,
know what it is.
No, but it could totally be like, it could totally be like, I once met a girl that I was attracted to, and we kind of hit it off, and then we started flirting, and then we got closer, and then at some point I smelled her neck, and it's just I just didn't like the smell. It was just like,
wow.
I don't know, it wasn't like she wasn't unwashed or whatever, but there was just something about it.
What did it smell?
Well, I like, you know, so like, so, you know how somebody's body smell can just like, if you like them or whatever, it can just be smell somehow super nice. But then with her, it's just, yeah, just there was just something about it that turned me off.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because it happens to me a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the smell is very important.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh. Sometimes I smell someone and I mean, I'm not like going around smelling people. That sounds like I'm like a dog. Sometimes like I would get closer to someone and their smell would just throw me off, or like, or opposite, like,
mm-hmm. Or turn you on, right? Yeah, you know, for exactly. Sure.
Sometimes I would not find you that attractive, but I would smell you and I'd be like, okay, maybe. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, that's weird. Mm-hmm. We're animals, basically.
We are totally animal. This is one thing that I've had discussions with other people about it, because like a lot of people will say, yeah, but we've outgrown this and we are civilized and that's why we don't do these things. I'm like, yes, but that to me, I think that civilized layer that we have, it's a very, very, very thin layer.
Yeah.
That is just there to keep society running. But as soon as shit hits the fan or anything happens, the animal will come out real quick. And one of those issues is with attraction. You know, like if you smell someone, then sometimes that just goes into your. Goes into your lizard brain, right? Like you just become someone else almost.
That's insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to think that, like, we think of ourselves like geniuses, like and we are over everything and like we know everything, but
yeah, we think we like we think that we are the cortex of our brain, God. But like
we're
the cortex
nothing.
Is just this little thin layer on top that tries to justify everything after the fact.
Exactly, and we invent like rules in society and stuff to make ourselves think that we're smart and we like I don't know what we're doing actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, we build ourselves like. Houses and we like invent fucking cars and stuff. I mean, that's okay, that's great, but I mean, why? Like at the end?
Mm-hmm. At what? Like what? Like, what are you saying that at the end we're just animals?
Yeah,
animals.
At the end, like we're all with the same as any other species.
I think so. Like I think so.
Like
I think so. You know, we just have. We're a social species, and when you're a social species, then you have to eat, like you have to hold yourself back to a certain extent, because otherwise, you know, otherwise really bad things will happen. Sometimes, this reminds me of like a long time ago. When I first came to Canada, I was in northern BC, and my girlfriend at the time, she had her grandparents had a lodge on the Alaska Highway.
When was that?
This was in 2000.
Yeah.
And well, anyways, but I was up north and I was there for a couple months and I got to work with horses.
Mm-hmm.
And horses are, what were we talking about before? I just lost my train of thought.
About humans being the same as animals.
Humans being. Man, you're gonna have to cut this. You might have to cut this.
I like it. I will not.
You will not cut this.
I will not.
I had a great point. What the fuck?
I love it. I love that you asked me to cut it, and I'm like, dude, don't tell me what to do. This is my podcast.
Okay, fine. Well, what was I gonna say now?
You were talking about horses.
I had a great point.
Is it because I asked you when was it?
No, it was a long time. It wasn't the early 2000s.
Yeah.
That
made you lose your idea.
No, but before that, we were talking about like how humans are kind of. Oh yeah. Okay. So I was working with horses, and if you have two stallions together, they will kill each other. They will literally kill each other. So you can only have one stallion. So that's why if you keep horses together, like all the other male horses, they have to be cut.
Huh.
It's because they will kill each other.
Yeah.
And when you think about like how with humans, like yes, men fight a lot more than women, but like overall, like you can have millions of humans together, millions of uncut men together that have their balls, and they will not kill each other by and large, right? And so that is kind of that is quite something when you compare humans to other to other animals, a lot of people like to say, us humans, we have wars and we're so aggressive. And yes, we do have that. But I think compared to a lot of other animals, if you keep them together, they will fuck each other up.
I mean, I think like male humans, I don't know if I can say that, men are the like... killers are mostly men.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. And mm-hmm. then people who start wars are mostly men.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, sorry, I'm starting to be like in my feminist, like, speech.
Well, we can, like I love to talk about these things. It's just that, like, sometimes what happens when you start talking about these things, people start getting offended and stuff, yeah. and like that's what I wouldn't want.
Yeah.
But yeah, continue.
No, I won't get offended. I hope you won't. Anyway, yeah. So we can compare like the horses to humans in that way that men are also more aggressive and
yeah, they are
and everything. And I was also going somewhere with that, but I also don't remember.
Ah, okay.
Well, I think the wine is already
the wine is already kicking.
Kicking.
Yeah. 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 Who knows?
Anyway.
Who knows? But like that, we're just animals, in a sense. We're animals with a thin veneer of civilization on top.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was gonna say. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I was just gonna say that, we decided to have like a society and laws to make sure that less people do things like that, like murder and stuff. I mean, because we mm-hmm. like put prisons and stuff. I mean, we try to make people not want to do those things. But yeah. horses, if they kill each other, what's gonna happen? Nothing.
There is no repercussion.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's, we're smart enough to put those things there to like make people not do that.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get when you live inside of a hierarchy. Then you have one disadvantage is that you can't do whatever you want, but one advantage is that, you know, like the violence is cut down significantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I was just with my friends yesterday. I'm like, and they're complaining about big government, and yes, there's many things to complain about. But one thing that let's say a country versus just a tribe, one thing that's good about that is that there seems to be a lot less violence when you have taller hierarchical structures, like the violence in the bottom is reduced.
Yeah.
Because if you like imagine that we lived in a tribal world, right? Where the hierarchy is only one level high, right? It's only the boss of the tribe and that's it. Well, then every other tribe is you know, a potentially life or death situation, right? When you meet another tribe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like in that sense, civilization has built up this whole hierarchy where you have
exactly.
whatever, the mayor, and then you have the boss of the province, and above that, the boss of the country, and above that, whatever. Like that has the advantage that we don't have to fear for our lives every day.
Exactly. Which is good. I like that. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to explore why it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And before we finish recording, because we're almost done, it goes fast, huh?
Yeah.
I know, I'm interesting. No, I'm kidding.
Like, you are interesting.
Thank you. Yeah. You said you were from the Netherlands, and you said you arrived here in the early 2000s?
Yes.
So I'm interested, like, why did you decide?
Why did I come here? Man, I've always known when I grew up, as long as I can remember, I thought that I'm not going to stay here. And the reason why, not because the Netherlands is a bad place, because it really isn't. It's actually a great place. It's a very well organized.
Yeah.
It's very clean. It's very socially aware. It's a great country. But one reason why I wanted to leave is that I couldn't see myself just live like two blocks from where my parents grew up and live my entire life there with all the people that are around me, because I figured, you know, why not go somewhere else and learn something about a different culture or like different kinds of people, right? And I think Montreal is great for that, because in Montreal, man, like...
Why did you pick Montreal?
Well, I had a Canadian girlfriend at the time. First I went to Vancouver, and then I met a girl there and she became my girlfriend. And then I wanted to stay there, but I couldn't get a job. And then I went back to the Netherlands, and then I sent out a bunch of resumes, and then in the end, I got a job in the UK, and then I worked in the UK for 2 years, and then my boss in the UK wanted to leave to go to Montreal to start a studio, and then I was still with my Canadian girlfriend at the time, so I was like, well, let's just go there, and then I'll stay there for 6 months, and then I have my foot in the door, and then we can go to British Columbia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I came here, and then we broke up, and then I stayed here, and that's kind of it. And then, like, maybe I wanted to move, but then I got friends, and then I got a company, and before you know it,
so now you're planning on staying here.
I'm not sure. Like, I'm never sure if I would want to stay here all the time, but I have so many friends here now that it's just hard to leave. It's just that. You know, the fact that there's no ocean here and the fact that it's very cold here is kind of, I mean, it's the cliche Montreal, Montreal thing. But I mean, I really like it here in the summer, but in the winter, it's just depressing.
I hate it so much. I was born here and I've always hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm.
Mm. Like.
So why did you never go anywhere else?
I did.
So you went to Australia for 3 months?
I lived in the US 6 months a year for 3 years.
Okay, cool.
And I was in Asia for 7 months.
Awesome.
And I was in Australia for 3 months. And I was in Europe for a month and a half. And I went a couple times again. And I was in South America too. I mean, I've traveled a lot. Like, I was never here for like 5 years, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was escaping.
Yeah.
But now I'm glad I'm back. And I learned to love Montreal, and I'm really good here. And I'm like installing, like I have my place, and I'm really happy and trying to do comedy and stuff. And I love it. But maybe someday I will want to have a sailboat and go all over the world. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, so before you do that, go on that website and help a bunch of other people. Because you could be gone for 6 months and you could be spending $5,000 in 6 months. Like, and have an amazing life.
Well, that's basically what I did in Asia too.
Mm-hmm.
So cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Someday Asia. I'll do that.
Asia. I've never been to Asia.
Oh my God. You need to go. It's so awesome. Oh.
I'll check that. Yeah,
you need to check that. So that's it. It's been an hour.
Okay.
So we go off record now.
Okay, good. Let's go off the air and let's figure something else out.
So my date with Martin was really great, actually. We had a lot in common. And I mean, he's from another country and he's traveled a lot. And so we had a lot of things to talk about, and he was very smart and interesting. So yeah, I would definitely see him again. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.